السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا وطبيب قلوبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ بوأنا لإبراهيم مكان البيت ألا تشرك بي شيئا وطهر بيتي للطائفين والقائمين والركع السجود وأذن في الناس بالحج إلى آخر الآية. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, my dear and respected elders, dear brothers and young friends, and our mothers and sisters listening over the receivers, Alhamdulillah, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has once again given us a very precious opportunity in our life to be in the best days or some of the most auspicious and precious days of the year, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Most of us, many of us, almost all of us know the virtue of these days and what Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala requires from us. If we can consider it in a form of an analogy, this is an outreach from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today in world relief we understand what outreach means. When there is difficulty, when there is need, then we find that there are outreach programs to try and go and assist and help and guide. So these 10 days essentially are an outreach from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humanity, and more especially to the ummah and the Muslims and the believers, that indeed each and every one of us are in need. We are seeking the mercy of Allah, we are seeking the help of Allah, and we are seeking the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now extends His hand of benevolence, His hand of generosity out to the humanity in an extraordinary manner. One is the general days and the nights of the year, and one is the days and the nights of Dhul-Hijjah, which has been mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, in Surah Al-Fajr, Wal-Fajr Wal-Layalin Ashr. So, it is obviously the requirement of those who the Creator and the Benefactor is extending His generosity out to respond. If it happens such that there is someone who goes out to benefit some people, or they want to reach out to some people, and those people do not respond, how will that type of outreach be? It will be a one-sided thing. So in the very same way, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is reaching out to us, and we should reciprocate, and we should respond to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the bounties that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is willing to shower upon His faithful servants in these very auspicious days. When we look at this ayat, there are many verses in the Quran al-Kareem that speak about this season, that speak about the time that we are in, and there are details regarding the rites of Hajj and the importance of the days of Dhul-Hijjah. In the ayat of Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the initiation and of the origination of all of this. وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ Allah says that when we had pointed out to Ibrahim alayhi salam the place of Baytullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us right back to the initiation or the initial history of this legacy. Because this entire season, this entire mawsim, and everything that the rites of Hajj and Qurbani are about, it originates from this one great personality and this one very devoted family of Ibrahim alayhi salam, his wife and his son. So Allah says, when Ibrahim alayhi salam Allah Ta'ala pointed out for Ibrahim alayhi salam, Makan al-Bayt. Now what was the purpose, what was the reason for the initiation of this particular house, this structure, this legacy? Allah tushrik bi shay'a. The very principal reason, the very core reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established Baytullah is that the element and the creed of shirk, of ascribing and attributing any worth, any deity, any worship to anyone or anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be eradicated. This is the very principal and core reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established this entire legacy through Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah tushrik bi. And when this fundamental principle is established, then we will find that humanity will be able to flourish as in its true sense. It will be able to remain upon its true fitrat, upon its true nature. When there is no shirk, when there is no impurity of ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then only will humanity be able to elevate itself to being subservient and obedient to its creator. And then the second aspect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings, once this is established, the aspect of shirk is now eradicated, and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is understood and is realized, then Allah says, وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْقَائِمِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. And now, this haram, this very auspicious and sacred presence, must now be established for the faithful devotees of those who have now brought the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into their hearts. The proclaimers of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now devote and dedicate their attention and their life to this maqam, to this place. طَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ. So this area, this entire haram, the Baytullah and its presence, all of it must be purified. Internally and externally. Internally, externally it must be purified of all idolatry, any form of shirk, any form of idols, all of that must be removed completely. And spiritually and internally, that this place will be devoted and dedicated for one purpose and one purpose only. There will be no other business here. There will be no other function that this particular haram will serve in the life of humanity. Nothing else will take place here. And a person will not come here with any other intention, or should not come here with any other intention, except Allah tushrik bi shay'a wa tahhir baytiya. Except for that oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to express and pronounce that devotion and obedience to Allah, and for the purification of that purpose. So it will be for litta'ifeen, those who will make tawaf to will be there for that very purpose. Al-qa'imeen, those who will stand in salah there will have that particular intention and purpose and objective in their mind. And wa ruk'a'i sujood, and that ruku will also be for that purpose. And the sajda that will take place in the Haram Sharif in front of Baytullah will also be for that purpose and that purpose alone. And then historically we know the next ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention about wa adhin fin nas bil hajj. Now when the structure had been erected and this global monument, this global sacred house has now been established and rebuilt and erected, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Ibrahim alayhi salam that now make the announcement. Now give this da'wat and call to the entire humanity. And it is mentioned, Tafsir al-Qurtubi, etc., they mention that first Ibrahim alayhi salam was apprehensive to know that how will this happen? That there is no inhabitants here, there is nothing around me. Who am I going to call? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to make the call, and the call will be transmitted, and it will receive the call. So he goes on to Mount Abu Qubays, and it is mentioned in the tafsir that Ibrahim alayhi salam puts his fingers into his ears, and he faces the four directions, and he makes the call to the people to come to Baytullah, and the rest is history. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows his voice to traverse all boundaries, and people who were in the world, on the planet at that time, wherever the populace was, they heard his call, and even beyond that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even allowed his voice to traverse to those who were not alive or those who were not existing at that time. And that is how the labbaik came into being, that those who now heard the azan of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they heard the call, they responded by saying, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. And this Labbaik also has an inner meaning and an outer meaning. There is a lot of depth in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept about the season of Hajj. The aspect of presence, that when a person says, Oh Allah, I'm present, then that presence has a very deep reach and a very deep meaning. It does not merely mean that a person is present there with his visa and he has come for Hajj with his currency and his luggage and himself and his person and her mahram or whatever the requirements of the rites of Hajj. But it has an implication of a person being present as far as his mind is concerned. The presence of mind is something that is one of the most difficult things for a human being to achieve and acquire. That in every aspect of our life, this presence has to be there. The presence of Allah watching over us. The presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being able to take account from a person. The presence of a person in which environment he finds himself in. The presence of a person's actions, the presence of a person's deeds, all of these things are represented in that labbaik when the person says labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. So further, if we look at the environment within which Hajj is performed and the rites of Hajj, we find that the central city and the central venue for everything that happens is the city of Makkatul Mukarramah. And Makkah itself has its own beauty and it has its own specialities. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Makkah in the Quran al-Kareem by different names and has referred to it with different terms. One term we know is Al-Baladul Amin, that the city of Makkah is the safe city, it is the secure city. In other words, it is a place where there will be total safety and security. The environment will be one of safety. A person will feel safe in the Haram Sharif, in the presence of the Haram. There will be no violence here. There will be no intimidation. There will be no racism. There will be no harassment. There will be no aspects that people are normally affected by in their normal lives will not be found in the safe city. However, one of the other very touching meanings and understanding of Makkah is the meaning of Makkah itself. Makkah, if we look at it from a linguistic point of view, it means to actually crush and to whittle down, to crush and whittle down something. And the commentators explain that this particular meaning of Makkah serves to inform and advise the inhabitant of Makkah or the visitor to Makkah that you are now here in this great city and you are an individual among individuals. So when you are here, you will now crush everything that you think about yourself. Your self-worth, your ego, your highness, whatever prejudices a person comes to Makkatul Mukarramah with will now be crushed by the environment of Makkatul Mukarramah. A person will be an ordinary individual, citizen, worshipper, devotee, among many devotees. Therefore we find that no one enters Makkatul Mukarramah or the Haram Sharif with the protocol that a person has wherever he lives and he resides. Wherever you are, you may have certain protocol about who you are and what type of security you enjoy or what type of clothing you wear or what type of profile we carry and we manage ourselves with in our normal life. But Makkatul Mukarramah is that place that a person has to crush all of that. He has to abandon all of that. And then only is that person allowed to enter the presence of Makkatul Mukarramah. And this is one of the greatest lessons of Hajj. The greatest lessons of this time, of these auspicious days. One is the ibadat and the reward and everything that goes with it. That is to heighten our consciousness. That is to deepen our understanding of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the very essence of this journey, of this particular obligation and this event of Hajj is to give the mind, to recondition the mind of a person, that develop humility. Try to bring about this in a belief in oneself that I have no worth with me. I come here, I'm an ordinary servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I am among the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at the tawaf itself, when we look at the ifada of Arafat, of Mina, of Muzdalifah, what do we find? It's like an ocean. It's like a river. And the individual is just a drop. You are just a drop in that ocean. And that ocean is flowing. And every drop is dependent on the other drop. No drop is superior to the next drop. And this is who we are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we will only be judged on the quality of our actions and what we do. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates this uniformity in Hajj to prepare and condition the mind of that person that all of these aspects that you regard to be position, status or whatever it could be, all of this has to be set aside completely. And the mind has to be conditioned upon what is required to be achieved. And that is tawazu and humility. Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. A person who establishes and develops tawazu and humility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will elevate that person. Amma zabadu fayadhhabu jufa'a wa amma ma yanfa'u an-nas fayamkuthu fil ard. Those who benefit humanity, if you want to be a benefactor of people, of humanity, then you have to be humble. You have to allow yourself to be buried into the ground, like the seed. If the seed does not go into the ground, it is never going to rise up as a huge tree and give that fruit or that shade or the benefit that it gives to humanity. That seed has to allow itself to first be buried into the ground. Then only will the tree be able to grow and develop. So the same with humanity, the same with a human being. First, a person has to bring about the demolition of his inner self, of his inner ego, of his feelings of pride and goodness. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala elevates a person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then takes work and benefit from that person. So this is one of the principal lessons of Hajj. Another aspect regarding Makkatul Mukarramah, and it is mentioned in the Quran Kareem, Allah refers to the city of Makkah as Bakka. إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركو. So the commentators again explain and elaborate that the city of Bakka actually comes from the word buka, and buka actually means to cry, for a person to shed tears. And this is again one of the effects of Hajj, one of the effects of the Haram, one of the effects of the rites of Hajj that it has on a person. It has a melting effect on the heart of a person. That a person realizes who he is at the end of the day. And he sees the grandeur and the splendor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sees the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its diversity. He sees people who are far better than him, far wealthier than him, in so many respects. And that melts the heart. It brings an effect of humility onto the heart. And it makes a person begin to cry. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us in these days to soften this heart. This heart has to be softened so that we can become true human beings. A person with a hard heart and a person who is immersed in everything that hardens the heart, materialism, love for dunya, attachment to everything that is around us, that hardens the heart, excessive speech, laughing all the time, entertainment all the time, leading a carefree life, just moving with the flow, no fikr, no real concern about reality, about the real life. The mashayikh explained that one of the biggest calamities that a person can suffer is an aspect called bayfikri. Bayfikri means to be heedless, not to be in touch with reality, not to have any direction of life, not to know what is required from a person. Just moving along, just trudging along with the routine of life. This is a calamity, my dear friend. We should ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection. Open the books of du'as and we'll find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for protection from all of these things. من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. All of these things have been asked by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because these are the things which create heedlessness and unawareness in a person. So another very significant aspect of Makkatul Mukarramah is that it melts the heart of a person. Therefore, in these days we are asked also, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has advised us in the hadith, that proclaim and pronounce the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Bring dhikr onto one's tongue and transmit the effect of that dhikr into the heart so that the heart will soften. Increase tilawat of the Qur'an al-Kareem and curtail one's speech and one's engagement and engrossment with speech, whether it is social media, whether it is on the telephone, whether it is the internet, whichever medium it may be. Try to curb it, try to manage it, try to reduce it. Bring the element of silence into our life. One may say, why must we be silent when Allah has given us permission to talk? Silence is a great sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is established from the seerah that there were moments of long periods of silence in the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There was one saying I was reading, very interesting. They say, listen to silence as it has so much to say. Listen to silence as it has much to say. When a person is silent, then the heart has an opportunity to express itself. Tears cannot come onto the eyes if the heart is always occupied. The heart is not given that moment to think and reflect. Our Akabir and Mashayik used to sum these formulas and concepts up very beautifully. They used to say, Zaban ban kar lo, dil khul jayega. Close your mouth, zip it, and the heart will open. And this is what we need today, my respected friends. For that heart to be softened, for that heart to be opened. Then now when a person does Hajj, when he does Umrah, when he does Qurbani, when he performs the 2 rakat Salah, then he's going to appreciate what he is doing. The benefit from that is going to now seep into his heart. He's going to gain the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that. It's not going to be an outward manifestation of an act and it's done A to Z, complete, and close the book and close the chapter and we move on. And there's no effect in the life of a person. So this is the requirement of the day, that how do we understand these concepts and bring this realization into us, that what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from us through Qurbani? What does Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala want from us through these great days? Of course, the outward manifestation of it is important. A person must do what is required to be done in terms of nafil, optional actions, dhikrullah. A person should do all of these things. Because these things they open the door to the opening of the heart. They open the door to a person actually reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if it is just done as a physical exercise, and the benefit is not taken in, and a person does not have his heart in it, then the benefit is restricted. Ibn Rajab rahmatullah alayhi mentions, he says that our focus in these days should be such that even if a person has not gone on Hajj, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant all of us the opportunity, a person may not be able to reach the precincts of Arafat and the boundaries of Arafat, but each and every person has the ability and the chance and the opportunity to remain within the presence and the hudud of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, a person may not be able to spend the night in Muzdalifah, but a person has the opportunity to spend the night making ruju ila Allah, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says that a person may not have the opportunity to go to Baytullah. Baytullah may be very far from us physically, but he says he has the opportunity and the capacity to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّهُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer to us than our jugular vein also. So this is what should be sought. Whether a person has the opportunity of going for Hajj, Umrah, or a person doesn't have the opportunity, but the opportunity to reach Allah and the opportunity to reap from Allah and the opportunity to meet Allah, if we can say, that is open to each and every person in these auspicious days and in this time of Hajj. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my respected friends, He gives us the tawfiq to conduct these rites and these obligations with the true sense and the spirit. Qurbani also is not just an act of fun, adventure and entertainment. We need to change our mindset also with regards to this. There has to be reflection in it. There has to be thought that is put into it. That this animal is laying down its life. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given us Qurbani to commemorate with something that doesn't have life in it. Today we find the world when they want to commemorate something or some person, then they do it in different ways. Whether it's statues, monuments, they have days, they have celebrations, whatever they have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Qurbani to slaughter a live animal. And this animal is telling us symbolically, by laying down its life, that, O insan, O man, I am giving my life. Look at my example. I am not accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given me this opportunity to lay down my life. We face the animal towards the Qibla. Focus yourself towards Qibla. Focus yourself towards the Lord of the Kaaba, Rabbul Kaaba. And ask yourself, question yourself about the direction of your life, about the cleanliness of your intentions, about your deeds and your actions, and about your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this animal, when we are slaughtering it, it has many, many messages for us. And it is giving us a life lesson, my dear friends. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the true tawfiq and give us the true understanding and realization, and accept all the qurbani, accept the hajj of each and every person. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.